and welcome to The Two Tones with Tony DeVolfo.
How are you, Tony?
I'm very well. How do you think I am after Saturday afternoon?
Silly question.
And Tony Moakley. It is episode 8. Hello to the great Lance Whitnell.
The great Matthew Cruiser. Isn't he in stellar form at the moment?
We're going to get to that in a moment, but we are going to pay tribute to that particular person who passed away this week. We say valet to
the great Lou Richards, Tony, and it's, I think, a magnificent forum in which to do this, because we do have fun here in the roles that we served with the Two Tones. And of course, fun with a capital of F was what Lou was all about. Yep. And just in preparing the tributes to Lou Richards today, I want to get a Carlton angle if I could on it. And of course, we didn't have to venture too far. We looked towards Lygon Street, Tony, to those great set-up promo ventures that Lou was involved in.
Yes.
When the kiss of death went Carlton's way against his old team Collingwood. Whenever Carlton played Collingwood, they invariably tipped the pies and invariably they'd lose to Carlton. So we memorably think back to the time that Mario Bortolotto spilled a vat of spaghetti over his head.
It was good luck.
And Mil Hanna scalping him after a Carlton victory over Collingwood in 1989.
Yeah.
Lou often said, Tone, particularly when the spaghetti was thrust upon him, that no matter, he said, you know, the one good thing about being born ugly is that as you get older, you don't get any worse. So that never worried Lou. But I wanted to look a bit further back in Lou's career, Tony, as a player, because, you know, we do forget, I mean, the mirth and merriment of Lou's media life, that he was a great player for Collingwood through that wartime period. And I happen to have handy a copy of a book Lou co-wrote with Ian McDonald back in 1963, which was called Boots in All. And in it, he actually talks about the time that he first ran out in the black and white stripes.
And where was that?
Would you believe Princes Park against the old foe in the sixth round of the 1941 season? Now, Lou always had a healthy respect for Carlton, and perhaps it relates to that particular game, round six. And I looked into that game, Tony, and funnily enough, Carlton prevailed, won by 17 points in that game. A full forward for Carlton named Paul Schmidt booted five.
Not a great surname to have that year.
During that period of time, it wasn't indeed. And the feared Carlton captain, Bob Chitty, was actually reported and subsequently suspended for two matches for elbowing Lou's uncle, Albie Panham.
Yeah.
So it was a baptism of fire for Lou, and he didn't emerge unscathed either, as he relates in his book. And I'd like to just relate to you what Lou said about that particular occasion.
Please.
I played my first game against Carlton, and when I was resting in the forward pocket, a chap by the name of Charlie McGuinness was minding me. If you reckon present-day back pocket John Benetti has big thighs, you should have seen Charlie. He made Benetti look like the thin man at the circus. Not only did he use those thighs and hips to full advantage, he gave me a decent initiation into league football. As soon as the game started, he turned and swung a terrific punch which exploded in my face.
Oh, my God.
That's how I started, with a cut nose and mouth. It was a lesson I never forgot. So, welcome to league football, Lou.
Wow.
Welcome to Carlton.
Wow.
That was definitely the school of hard knocks for the great Lou Richards. A legend of the game many respects, Tony, on and off the field, and may he rest in peace at 94. That's a life well lived, that's for sure.
It certainly is, and he gave a lot. He gave a lot to the game he loved, and to certainly remember him on World of Sport. Well, back when football shows were fantastic, you got to say.
You have to say that.
We shan't dwell on that. What we will dwell on longer than other people might deem good taste.
Yes.
Saturday afternoon, Tony DeVolfo. Can I just read out the score? Well, I don't have it here, but I'm sure you have it. All that matters is that we won by 23 points.
I know we got the 4 points, 23 point victory. What an occasion, Tony. The classic, party pooper, wasn't it? And I was actually hoping Melbourne Victory might have completed the double for the Dark Navy the weekend. It wasn't to be, but a great moment in time to rain on the Collingwood parade. And I thought the big fella was on our side before the first bands, Tony, when the heavens opened and all their premierships, the cups started to rust in the incessant rains that were falling, and
the, you know, the cavalcade of champions that they had on the field, and
well, they were well hooded, weren't they? I turned to a mate of mine and said, if I ran out now with a hoodie, people wouldn't know whether I was Tony DeBolfo or Thurald Merritt. And I had a great feeling at that stage that, well, this is literally raining on the parade. Yeah. I mean, it'll be Mark II, you know, when the players take to the field. And that's exactly how it panned out. It was magnificent to see the team go about their work. And, well, let's talk about it in depth, shall we?
All right, so many highlights. Can I just... And this is not in any particular order, but the thing that got me about Saturday was the crispness of the disposal. Now, keep in mind, Collingwood don't have a great reputation for that, but Carlton's passing and, like I say, accuracy, delivery was... an order that I've never seen before.
Well, that's true, but I think that it's all part of the system. You know, the clear thinking, the decision making's right, the where the players are positioning themselves, the manner in which they team so well together and play for each other. It's just, I think it's all. It just seems to be that, you know, well-oiled machine working overtime, and I think. You know, the way that the Carlton players are really teaming together now, it's it augurs so well for, you know, the medium to long-term future, I believe. And I know, you know, we're still on the make as a team, but gee whiz, it's great to be part of this journey, isn't it, Tony? Because there's only one way this journey is heading, and that's due north. And
Well, I tell you, you know, and the thing, the... I don't know, the hubris you allow yourself to indulge in, which I like to think is the natural state of a Carlton fan. And, but SPS, we have to throw the spotlight on that. Two Norwich, or I keep saying Norwich, NAB Rising Star nominations in the space of a fortnight for the Carlton Football Club, which says something about the club's recruitment efforts. But if we could throw the light on Samo, well, unbelievable. The first goal, you would have seen that. Charlie Curnow, bottom of the pack, shoves the ball forward. And just his goal sense and his decision making, his reflexes, he's going to be elite, is he not?
He's indeed going to be elite. And when you mentioned Charlie Curnow, let's throw him in for the hat trick this week. I reckon a NAB nomination is not far away. But you're right, to put that first goal on the board for Carlton. After that, you know, 10-12 minute struggle where there wasn't a score registered.
Yeah.
You know,
it might have been Ed at the bottom of the
page. It could have been too. Yeah. And it was just the thing with Petrevsky Seaton is that he's in his seventh game, he's 19, he's playing midfield, and he's got all the poise and calm of a fellow that's been around forever.
Yeah.
His decision making is magnificent, his skills are sublime. You know, I think back on that game, you know, the second quarter, that deft little kick inboard to Gibbs.
Yes.
You know, they went at right angles. He knew exactly where he was putting it. And that was just, you know, I think back to when Williams played and, you know, you'd see things that Williams did that you had to ask yourself, did I actually see that?
Yeah.
You know, and that's what Petrevsky Seaton brings. Then there was that other left foot pass that thread the needle to Matthew Wright on the lead. He was hugging the boundary there. Hit targets both times. He doesn't panic. He's just a beautiful player to watch. He, you know, like a lot of the Indigenous players, he seems to float across the ground. And Carlton has an absolute beauty there. And, you know, the number five, Tony, I have to say, sits pretty comfortably on SPS's back at the
doesn't
minute.
Doesn't it? It's not a jumper number awarded lightly.
No.
And you would like to think that there was, I don't know, some foretaste of the young man's talent.
That's right. And if you may have seen him interviewed afterwards by David King. I mean, he was just so poised and so, you know, relaxed and purposeful.
Yeah.
What an impressive person, footballer he actually is for Carlton.
Now, a couple of other things. I mean, look, where do you start? Murph's game was sensational.
Well, yes. It is hard to know where to start because there's so much upside in so many areas. But I think when you mention Murphy, you know, much has been made of, you know, the Petrevsky Seatons and Charlie Curnows and Marchbanks of this world.
Yeah.
You have to remember also that we're seeing such a magnificent contribution from the old firm.
Yes, yes.
And you know, you look at Murphy.
Simo and Doc.
Simo, yeah. You know, Cruiser, Bryce Gibbs. Yes. Bryce Gibbs was in Maynard's face, you know, and get his hands dirty, yeah. Which it's great to see Bryce doing that. We know what he's capable of just in terms of his football abilities, but to get down and dirty, you know, and aggressive and nasty. Yes. I think that brings another dimension to his game. It's fantastic to see. Murphy, surprisingly, was given enormous latitude by Levi Greenwood, who had done the number on Selwood the week before.
Yeah.
He must have thought it was Christmas. You know, Murphy was just prancing around and really set Carlton up early, I think, when the game, I guess, was in abeyance. But, yes, we're seeing improvement across all facets of the playing group, all ages, all levels.
Just a couple of little things. Plowman, I think, is magnificent. He did a couple of things, you know, that he's just the guy you want down back, who's in, I think, one of the best back lines in the league, you've got to say. But
a couple of those one-on-one contests, yeah, where he judged the ball, yes, the play so magnificently. I think there was that spoil in the run back to the square late.
Yes, that's
you remember
it.
That one?
Yeah, yeah.
It was magnificent. And then we saw, but I think what else we saw, we see Marchbank, you know, back himself. He's so good in the air.
These intercept marks.
And Silvani's got an absolute beauty there, you know, rebounding key position player. It's just, he reminds me so much of Rance, you know, the way that he plays. But I think also we have to note again the experience. Matthew Lloyd, if memory serves, alluded to this yesterday, in a rare moment of respect,
tune on Carlton,
actually talked about the importance of at either end of both Casbolt and Rowe as the season heads. Casbolt to take a little bit of the heat off Curno and all those young kids that are trying to, you know, forge their careers forward. Rowe to take the heat off the likes of Marchbank, you know, maybe Plowman. Yeah. Just having the big bodies there. Conversely, if you look at Collingwood, poor old Darcy Moore was, you know, thrown to the wolves, and there's not that big body near him to perhaps take a little bit of the acid. So I think what we're seeing is a really well-balanced team. Some criticism was levelled at Carlton after the Port game that they went in with too much youth.
Yeah.
You know, there were seven teenagers in that game. It may have been so. But I think since then what we've seen is a little bit more of a balance in terms of the playing mix. And the team collectively seems to be responding the right way for it.
So, well, there's not only that, but there's new old heads, if you like Alex Silvani.
Yes.
And that tackle, which then produced a goal, Wiedering's goal, was just... inspirational stuff.
Magnificent. Those 1%ers are the ones that really lift the team, aren't they? And I neglected to mention Alex Silvani. You're quite right. With him and Rowe's presence, I think give the back half that real stabilising influence, you know. And look, you've got to hand it to Sam Rowe. I mean, he had that one, you know, setback with Lynch when we played Gold Coast. Yeah. Yet he kept Darcy Moore to one.
Yeah.
I mean, he's kept Joe Danaher in check. He kept Buddy
to...
Well, Alex Silvani kept Buddy to one. But I think, by and large, Sam's done the job this year. And we've got... Look, you just back the back six in. Every time the ball goes down there... every chance they're going to take it away. You know, it is great to watch.
We have to mention Daisy's goal, first set shot, which he didn't get, and Collingwood fans were there to offer advice to Daisy on his kicking style, but that second goal, that goal he kicked, selling the dummy to the opponent, and then a check side goal, I've never seen him happier in a Carlton jumper, I've got to say.
That was the cherry on top of the icing on top of the sagging Collingwood souffle, wasn't it? But it was great to see it live, Tone, and to get caught up in that moment and share that moment with Dale Thomas. But it was even better to get home and watch it on the replay and see 7 pan to camera 2. To pick up the Collingwood president's response.
Yes.
And the kids.
Yes.
The clan were all there. Yeah. And I think that was that made it all the more worthwhile.
There would have been a few sour faces and absolutely sour comments, I'm sure.
Absolutely.
Now, is there any other notable mentions? Well, there are many, of course, that we could make. Paddy Cripps, of course, another magnificent game.
Yes, another great game. And like, he's a player that's, you know, obviously had an injury interrupted pre-season.
Yeah.
And in many respects, it's just trying to fight his way through and get back to the sort of form that we know, you know, at his best, he's absolutely capable of. He's been extremely brave, I think, throughout this early part of the season, given you know, the setbacks that he's had. What a great player he is, you know. And again, we have to remind ourselves that he's only, you know, 50 games into his career.
Yes, I know.
So, you know, how high the moon, Tony. It's magnificent just to see the way he approaches it. A seasoned player, you know, that really has it all before him, like so many of the Carlton players actually do now. And look, it's a work in progress. You know, we're continuing to build this team. We still haven't seen Harry Mackay. You know, there's a player that we all want to see. But, you know, Brendan Bolt, to his credit, is playing players on form. Daisy got the call up on the strength of a 30-game possession in the VFL, and the twos had a good win again. So there's pressure from beneath for spots, and it's just a healthy environment at the moment. And it's no surprise that the team really seems to be flourishing. But we know that it'll be a hell of a test this week against the Saints.
Indeed. Before we get to previewing that, Tone, you face a task that no man should have to endure, and that is to come up with your 3-2-1 votes for the Two Tones Player of the Year.
I tell you, Tony, it's becoming more and more of a struggle. I rack my brain.
You need the wisdom of Job.
I do indeed, and not even that would suffice, Tony, in this instance, because there's an absolute plethora of stars in dark navy at the moment. However, I do my best. You mentioned Mark Murphy, Tone. Yep. I gave the captain one because I thought he led from the front, you know, when we needed him.
Yep.
Certainly took advantage of the latitude that was afforded him by the Magpies. Two votes I gave to Samo Petrovsky-Seaton. Yep. What a sublime showing that was for a kid that's, you know, just starting out on his own personal journey, and how lucky we are to have him. And three votes to the tractor, Matthew Kruser.
I
just love the way he's attacking the ball at the moment and following up with his second and third efforts. You know, it's he's playing with the freedom of a man that has finally got his body right and is being able to physically do what he's capable of doing. And Carlton is so much the beneficiary for the way he's played, because it all begins with him at the centre bounce, and just love the way he's going at the moment. So that's my 3-2-1.
He has the heart of a lion, that man. And if anything, it was an amazing round of upsets, but one thing you do notice time and time again is first use of the ball in a ruck contest. That's just going to set you up.
Well, it is, you know, and you know, his capacity to go forward now and, you know, slot that big goal when we need it's invaluable. I just love the way he's going about it at the moment. And, you know, he's really probably in the prime of his career, I'd have to say. He's never played better for the club, and may it long continue.
Quite fitting for episode number 8 for him to walk away with the three votes.
Absolutely.
Now, Tone, we should point out open training 10:45 a.m. Friday, the
5th of May?
I think we're already past the 5th
of
May.
Oh, we are indeed. We are indeed.
So that would be the 12th of May?
Yes.
Yes. So 10:45, the 12th of May. Come along, support the boys, and see who's looking sharp and who's not.
Well, that's right. You know, and as I said earlier, there's a contest for possession for placements in the team now. So, you know, it's to break into this team, you're really going to have to be on your game. So it'll be interesting to see what happens at selection this week. I note with interest that David Cunningham had a fairly solid performance in the twos, and he finished off the year strongly last year as a non-baller. Mm. So I reckon, you know, form accounts for anything. He's a fair chance to get a call-up. And the players to a man will need to be on their game, because St Kilda, they demolished GWS at the weekend. And they seem to be pretty even across the board in terms of their personnel. So the Blue Boys face a true test this week, I think.
Secured also on a ground on which we have not won this year.
No, and we were certainly humbled by St Kilda on that very venue, last year.
That was a shocking game.
So we need to, you know,
atone,
find
or
a way and atone.
Yeah, just be honest.
We do indeed.
It will be a great test, I think, of where we are. Nonetheless, the last 2 weeks have just been the thrill ride that we all signed up for.
And we haven't really acknowledged Brendan Bolton here.
That's a great
point.
But
to think that we were slaughtered at Adelaide Oval.
9 points, yeah.
You know, that was 3 weeks ago. And for the team to turn it around after that humiliation, I think says a lot about the players, but it says so much for Brendan Bolton's capacity to get the boys up and about. And I do believe we're in good hands. You know, it's just great to see a well-drilled team going about their work the way they are under Brendan Bolton's watch, and to him and all the coaches, I dips my lid. It's great to see.
Well said, especially Sav Rocker, who's doing great work for Levi. Would you ask Levi about in the post-match interview?
I did.
He didn't... I wanted him to kind of maybe hint at, I don't know, maybe I wanted a more expansive answer, but I think you asked the question that needed to be asked.
Well, you know, I asked him, you know, what was, Sav aside, was there a reason for the turnaround? He said, oh, no, he's just sort of application, keeping at it. And I think repetition's been a big thing with Levi. I'm sure that he's, you know, committed hours to the task of getting it right. But, you know, the fact that he is kicking truly means that he's suddenly a potent force up forward because he can certainly clunk them.
Yeah.
And I think what's also happening is the delivery to Levi's has been a lot better because if he gets a crack at it and he's running at it, no one's going to stop him taking those high marks. And on a day where weather didn't really suit, he still contributed significantly to the result. And again, it's one of the success stories of 2017, of which there are many at Carlton, Tony.
Well, and we certainly hope next week's game is one of those. Plenty for St Kilda to consider. Plenty of I don't know, matchups that they have to sweat on, I like to think. That is St Kilda v Carlton, Saturday, 13th of May, Etihad, 2:10 p.m. It will be, as we say, a great indicator of how the Blues are travelling, but you wouldn't swap the last 2 weeks for quids, would you?
It's been great. You wouldn't indeed, Tony. And could I just say before we sign off too that in respect of Lou, there is a story acknowledging Lou and the Carlton connection on the website.
Yes.
But I've also revisited this week 40 years since ABBA rolled into town. And Keith McKenzie, God bless him, got two Guernseys down at Tullamarine Airport for the girls to wear.
They also wore one in the ABBA movie.
Yes, and in the film with Chiquita.
There you go.
Maybe we go out to Chiquita today, Tony, just to celebrate.
But I think...
But there'll be a story on the website in the next day or so about that moment in time.
She was my first crush, the blonde one.
Anna,
yes,
was she?
She was.
I had you down for a freedom man myself, but there you go.
Well, look, we'll agree to disagree on that. This has been the Two Tones, episode 8. Thank you for joining us, Tony DeBolfo.
Thanks, Tone. Great to be here.
Tony Mike there signing off. Catch you next week. God bless.